It is 4:55 p.m. on a Friday.
Oh no. I
Oh,
know
it's
exactly where this is going.
right. You just made a tiny, supposedly harmless tweak to a functions.pht file. You open up FileZilla or, maybe CyberDuck.
Yeah, dragging that one single file over.
Exactly. You drag it over to the production server. You watch that little progress bar hit 100%. You switch over to your browser, you refresh the client's live, highly trafficked e-commerce site, and
Let me guess. White screen of death.
it is a fatal, completely blank white screen of death. Your stomach just entirely drops out.
Yeah, full panic mode.
You scramble to find the backup, and you're frantically trying to remember what that file looked like 5 minutes ago.
That is just that visceral reaction to the white screen is basically a shared generational trauma for PHP developers.
It really is. And we are talking directly to you today. You're someone who has been in the trenches. You've spent 10, maybe 15 years building the web. You know PHP inside out.
Yeah, you're writing complex MySQL queries without breaking a sweat.
Exactly. You know the WordPress ecosystem, the traditional hosting, the plugins, the themes, like the back of your hand. But today, we are taking a masterclass on how to make sure you never, ever experience that Friday afternoon white screen panic again.
And honestly, the truth is, all those foundational skills you have are still incredibly valuable. I mean, we aren't throwing any of that deep knowledge away.
Not at all.
We're really just looking at a major, desperately needed upgrade to your delivery mechanism.
Right. And to do that, we're diving into a really detailed source today. It's a dedicated module from this massive 16-part course that maps out the modern web and DevOps landscape.
It's a really great curriculum.
It is. And the mission of our deep dive today is to explore this massive shift from traditional manual server deployments to modern CI/CD pipelines. But, and this is key, our goal is to strip away all the tech Twitter hype.
Yes, please. Ignore the buzzwords.
Right, ignore the buzzwords and just look at the actual mechanical reality of what works for a seasoned developer who's making this transition.
Because that transition is crucial. I mean, the way you deploy your code, it fundamentally alters how you write your code.
Yeah, how so?
Well, when we look at that scenario you just painted, the manual FTP drag and drop, the sources point out something pretty fascinating. That workflow, which is still the daily reality for, I don't know, thousands of agencies out there,
Oh, easily.
it's essentially the exact same deployment model we used back in 2005.
Right. It was the era when, deploying a website literally meant manually transferring files from your local hard drive to a remote computer.
Yeah. And it just became the water we all swim in, you know?
But the modern web has completely moved on. We just don't rely on human beings remembering to drag the right folder to the right directory anymore.
And thank goodness for that. Because frankly, relying on human memory at 4:55 p.m. on a Friday is just a recipe for disaster.
100%.
The modern alternative is entirely automated. So instead of manually moving files, you write your code, you commit it to version control like Git, and you push it to a branch. And that's it. That's at the end of your manual labor.
Which brings us to the acronym that really dominates the sources and, well, the modern web stack in general, CI/CD.
Right.
For a seasoned developer, the concepts behind this aren't necessarily new, but the strict automation of it definitely is. So let's break down the mechanics. The CI stands for continuous integration.
Which fundamentally is just a discipline. It's the practice of merging your code changes into a shared main branch and doing it frequently.
Okay, but how does that actually work in practice?
The core mechanism is that automated checks run on every single commit. So we're talking about type checking, linting for code quality, running your unit tests.
So it's checking your work automatically.
Exactly. The philosophical goal of continuous integration is basically to guarantee that the main branch of your code is always in a deployable state. If you make a commit that breaks a test, the integration fails. The code doesn't get merged.
Makes sense. And then you have the CD part, continuous deployment, which kind of extends that pipeline, right?
Yeah. Once your code passes all those automated checks and lands safely on the main branch, a system automatically pushes that code to the production server.
Now, I was reading through the sources and it hit me. There's this perfect mental model for WordPress veterans to understand this.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Think of these modern CI/CD tools, things like GitHub Actions, as your WP cron jobs. You know how WP cron runs scheduled tasks in the background, like cleaning up transients or publishing scheduled posts?
Oh, I like that. That
Oh,
is a phenomenal analogy.
right. It really clicked for me. Imagine if instead of running on your live server and eating up your valuable PHP workers, those background tasks fired based on Git events.
Yeah.
Every time you run a Git push, a trigger fires. But instead of running on your own infrastructure, these tasks run on some dedicated, isolated server in the cloud that, like, Microsoft or GitLab owns. That is exactly what a pipeline is doing.
Building right on that mechanical analogy, the actual configuration of that pipeline is surprisingly simple. I mean, you don't have to write some complex standalone application to manage all this.
Thanks.
Right. The entire pipeline is defined in a simple text file, specifically YAML file, that just sits right inside your repository.
Okay, so if I hit git push, let's trace the actual causality here. What is that YAML file telling this remote cloud server to do?
So when that git push event fires,
yeah,
the CI service reads your YAML file. And the very first thing it does is spin up a completely fresh, isolated virtual machine.
Like a blank slate.
Exactly. Usually just a lightweight Ubuntu Linux environment spun up just for this specific run. Then it executes your steps sequentially. Step one, it checks out your Git repository so it actually has your code.
Okay.
Step two, it installs your dependencies. So if you're using PHP, it runs Composer install. If you have front-end assets, it runs NPM install.
So it's essentially mimicking the exact setup process a new developer would run on their local machine, but doing it in this sterile temporary environment.
Precisely. Then we move to the checks. Step three might be running a static analysis tool.
Mm-hmm.
Step four is your linter, ensuring the code matches your formatting standards. Step five, it boots up whatever database it needs and runs your entire suite of unit tests. And if all those pass, step six, build your production bundle, maybe compiling your SAS into CSS and zipping up the final theme folder.
And then it deploys.
Yes. Step seven deploys that zipped folder to your production server. And finally, step eight pings your team's Slack channel to say, hey, the deployment was successful.
The critical mechanism there is what happens when things go wrong, right? Like if step five, the unit tests, fails, the entire assembly line just halts immediately.
Exactly. The broken code never reaches step seven.
So the production server is completely untouched, and you just get an alert telling you exactly which test failed.
Yep. It protects production at all costs.
Okay. So if my local laptop isn't doing the work and my production web server isn't doing the work, whose computer is actually running this YAML file? Because the sources map out quite a diverse landscape of infrastructure options.
Yeah, we have several major players in the field right now. You've got GitLab CI, which the sources note is incredibly powerful if your team relies heavily on complex Docker workflows.
Meaning you containerize all your applications.
Right, or if you use large monorepos, where your plugins, themes, and front-end apps all just live in one massive Git repository.
Gotcha.
Then you have Circle CI, which really built its reputation on sheer speed. It's fantastic if you need to compile macOS or iOS applications.
The sources also mentioned BuildKite, which is interesting because it takes a different approach that uses self-hosted agents.
Yeah, that's a big deal for enterprise.
Right. So the central service coordinates the pipeline, but the actual code executes on your own private secured servers, which is huge for compliance. And we can't forget the tools bundled right into modern hosting platforms like Vercel, Netlify, or Cloudflare Pages.
Oh, those bundled tools are incredibly slick.
Yeah.
Especially for front-end frameworks. They just watch your Git repo and handle the build and deploy steps automatically on their own edge infrastructure.
Yeah, often with zero YAML configuration required, which is nice.
Very nice.
But the sources are very clear on a recommendation here. For someone transitioning from the traditional WordPress world, learning the modern stack, GitHub Actions is basically the default choice.
It absolutely dominates the mindshare right now. And the tight integration is a massive factor. I mean, almost every open source project and modern web agency already hosts their code on GitHub.
Right. So you're already there.
Exactly. There's zero friction to get started.
Oh.
You literally just create a folder called .github/workflows and drop your YAML file in there.
Wow.
Plus, the pricing model is incredibly forgiving for developers who are just learning. They give you, I think, 2,000 free execution minutes every month for private repos, and public repos are completely free.
The other thing that makes GitHub Actions so accessible is the marketplace. You don't have to know how to write complex bash scripts to connect to a remote server via SSH or, you know, how to format a JSON payload to send a Slack message.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly. Someone in the community has already written an action for that. You just reference their action in your YAML file, plug in your variables, and it just works.
It's basically plug and play.
And it fundamentally alters the daily culture of a development team. To me, the biggest shift here is the death of tribal knowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
In a traditional agency, there's always that one secret Google Doc or like a sticky note on the lead developer's monitor detailing the exact subfolder on the client server you have to FTP into.
And if the lead dev goes on vacation, everyone is just terrified to deploy anything.
Right, but that friction disappears entirely because your infrastructure and your deployment process are now codified as version-controlled text.
Yeah, if a junior developer joins the team on a Tuesday, they can just open the YAML file and read the exact step-by-step recipe for how the site gets built and deployed. It democratizes the whole process.
Adopting this workflow isn't just about playing with shiny new DevOps tools, though. The sources highlight three massive practical wins that make this transition completely worth the effort for a traditional PHP developer.
Yeah, let's get into those.
I want to start with the first one because I think it genuinely changes your quality of life, and that is the absolute elimination of server anxiety.
Such a game changer.
When you deploy manually, your brain constantly has to hold the state of the production server. Like, did I upload the new header.php or did I just upload the CSS file?
Did the junior dev overwrite my changes from yesterday?
Exactly. With a CI/CD pipeline, that cognitive overhead just drops to zero. There is only one source of truth, the main branch in your Git repository. If the code is merged into main, you know with absolute mechanical certainty that it is live on the server.
You never have to manually compare file modification dates ever again.
Thank goodness.
That peace of mind is transformative. Mm. And the second major win highlighted in the sources built right on that automation, pull request previews.
Oh, this is huge.
Yeah, when you integrate a pipeline with modern hosts like Vercel or Netlify, they generate a totally unique, fully functional live URL for every single pull request branch you push.
Think about how much that changes the client review dynamic. In the old workflow, you build a new checkout flow for WooCommerce, right? To get client approval, you either have to take a dozen static screenshots, record some clunky screen capture video, or completely overwrite your agency's single staging server, which pauses everyone else's work.
It's a nightmare.
But now the pipeline just spins up a disposable version of the site. You email the client a link that says, like, feature new checkout.youragency.com. They click around, they test the actual live code, give their approval, and when you merge the code, that temporary environment just deletes itself.
It accelerates the feedback loop in a way that static screenshots just simply cannot match. Which leads us to the third big win, real enforced test coverage.
Right.
And this raises kind of an uncomfortable truth. Historically, the traditional WordPress and PHP agency culture has struggled with automated testing.
Yeah, it really has.
But it wasn't because the developers lacked the skill. It was an infrastructure problem. The tests had no consistent native place to run. I mean, setting up a local environment to run PHP unit tests was incredibly fragile and entirely manual.
And we all know human nature. When a process is manual and you are staring down a tight Friday deadline, running the local test suite is the very first thing that gets skipped.
Yeah, exactly. CI/CD solves that behavioral problem by giving your tests a permanent automated home. Let's take PHP Stan as an example.
Okay.
If you haven't used it, PHP Stan is a static analysis tool that reads your PHP code and finds logical bugs, type mismatches, and undefined variables before the code is ever even executed.
So it catches mistakes early.
Right. And when you wire PHP Stan into your GitHub Actions YAML file, it runs automatically every single time you push a commit. The system enforces the standard. You literally cannot merge broken code. The friction to running tests drops to zero, so developers naturally just start writing more of them.
Now, I know someone listening to this is probably thinking, well, this all sounds like a utopia, but I manage 40 legacy client sites on Kinsta or WP Engine. I am not migrating 40 clients to Vercel or a complex Docker setup tomorrow.
No, of course not.
But the brilliant part of the sources methodology is that you don't have to. We can build a bridge.
That is a critical point. You are bringing modern DevOps practices to traditional environments. You can wire up a GitHub Actions pipeline to run all those modern tools, your static analysis, your linter, your unit tests.
Yeah.
The pipeline can use Node to compile your modern CSS, build a clean, production-ready ZIP file of your theme, and then deploy it straight to WP Engine or Kinsta using their native APIs, or even just via standard SSH.
So the shape of the pipeline, the testing, the building, the automated safety checks is completely identical to a cutting-edge modern web stack.
Exactly. The only variable that changes is the final step, the target IP address where the compiled files get dropped.
You get 90% of the modern web benefits without having to completely replatform your legacy clients.
It's the best of both worlds.
Okay, this all sounds incredibly powerful. But we promised at the beginning of this deep dive that we were going to strip away the Twitter hype. We need a reality check.
Let's do it.
Because modern stack advocates often make CI/CD sound like a flawless magic bullet. I want to look at the watchouts. Where does this new paradigm introduce complex new headaches that a developer used to simple FTP has never had to deal with?
It is a vital perspective because, honestly, CI/CD has very sharp edges. If you don't respect the new rules of engagement, you can cause massive damage. The sources explicitly detail several major traps here.
What's the biggest one?
The first and arguably the most dangerous for transitioning developers is secrets management.
Okay.
By secrets, we mean production database passwords, Stripe payment gateway tokens, or third-party API keys. In a legacy FTP workflow, a developer might just, you know, hard code an API key right into a PHP file and upload it.
Right. Not great practice, but people do it. But in a CI/CD world, your entire code base lives in Git. And the fundamental design of Git is that it remembers every single change forever.
That is the trap. If you accidentally commit a file containing a live Stripe API key into your repository, it doesn't matter if you realize your mistake 10 seconds later and delete the key in your next commit.
Because it's in the history.
That key is now permanently baked into the historical commit log of your repo. Any developer or any compromised script that gains access to your repo history can find it.
Oh, wow. So what's the rule then?
The strict rule of modern DevOps is, if an API key touches Git, you must treat it as fully compromised and revoke it immediately.
Instantly.
Instead, you have to adopt a new discipline. You store those sensitive strings in the CI service's encrypted secret store. Then, in your YAML file, you tell the pipeline to inject those secrets into your application as environment variables only at the exact moment of execution. The secret never actually lives in the code.
Gotcha. It just requires a much higher level of operational security. Let's look at the second trap. Slow pipelines. The sources make a great point about developer psychology here. A pipeline that takes 15 minutes to run is actively destructive to a team's productivity.
Oh, it kills your momentum.
Because what happens? You push your code and you need to know if the test passed, but you have to wait 15 minutes. So you switch context. You go check Slack. You read an article, maybe you go make a coffee.
Yeah, and by the time the pipeline finally finishes, you have completely lost the mental context of the problem you were solving.
Exactly. Speed maintains flow state.
The industry target for a standard pipeline is 3 to 5 minutes. To hit that, you cannot just blindly write sequential steps in your YAML file. You have to actively engineer the pipeline for speed.
Like caching?
Yes, like caching dependencies. If your pipeline downloads every single PHP package from the internet every single time it runs, it'll be incredibly slow. You have to configure the pipeline to cache the vendor directory so it only downloads new packages when your composer.json file actually changes.
That makes sense.
You also need to parallelize jobs. If your CSS linter and your PHP unit test don't rely on each other, you configure the YAML to run them on two separate virtual machines at the exact same time, which cuts the total execution time in half.
Okay. Trap number three is one that causes endless frustration, and that's flaky tests. This is a fascinating issue. Imagine a test in your pipeline that checks if a modal window pops up on the screen.
Right.
But the test is poorly written. It checks for the modal after 200 milliseconds. But the CSS animation sometimes takes 250 milliseconds. So entirely randomly, the pipeline fails one out of every five times it runs, even though the actual code is perfectly fine.
The sources refer to this as a reliable amber light, and it is honestly worse than a pipeline that just outright fails.
Why is that?
Because it destroys the team's trust in the automation. If a pipeline is flaky, human nature takes over. A developer sees a red failed badge on their pull request, and instead of investigating, they just shrug and say, oh, it's just that stupid modal test timing out again. I'll just hit the retry button.
They just get used to it failing.
Right. They become blind to the failures. And inevitably, a legitimate site-breaking bug gets introduced, the pipeline flags it, and the developer ignores it, assuming it's just the flaky test acting up again. The deployment goes through and production breaks.
Ouch.
You must ruthlessly fix flaky tests or just delete them entirely. Trust the pipeline or don't use it.
I want to add one more reality check regarding cost. Dragging a file over FTP is basically free, but cloud computing is not.
No, it is not.
While GitHub Actions offers a generous free tier, those 2,000 minutes are consumed very quickly if you have a team of five developers pushing code to private repositories all day long.
Mm.
If you haven't optimized your caching, or if your pipeline is triggering on every single minor draft branch instead of just pull requests, you can end up with a very surprising cloud computing bill.
Yeah, that happens a lot to teams first making the jump.
I also want to push back a bit on the pure ideology of continuous deployment. The idea of deploy to production automatically on every single push to the main branch sounds incredible when tech influencers tweet about it. But the sources suggest we need to think critically about deploy gates.
Absolutely.
If I am managing a high-stakes client site, say a massive WooCommerce store doing thousands of dollars in transactions every hour, the idea of an automated script pushing code directly to the live server without a human being taking one final look, that genuinely terrifies me.
And the sources completely validate that fear. Pure continuous deployment is not always the right answer. For complex high-stakes environments, the industry standard is actually continuous delivery.
Okay, so what's the distinction there?
The distinction is crucial. The pipeline still does all the heavy lifting. It runs the security checks. It builds the assets. It deploys to a staging environment. But the pipeline intentionally pauses right before the final push to production. Uh-huh. An alert goes to the lead developer or the QA team. A human being reviews the staging link, verifies everything looks correct, and manually clicks an approve deploy button. It introduces an explicit human reality check into the automation.
So you get the speed of automated builds with the safety of human oversight.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's look at where this transition leaves you. You are stepping out of the dark ages of manual FTP uploads. You're leaving behind the Friday afternoon anxiety of wondering what state the production server is in.
A good feeling.
You are moving into a modern workflow where a simple Git push triggers a heavily orchestrated symphony of automated testing, building, and secure deployment, all governed by a transparent, version-controlled YAML file.
And I want to reiterate, your deep, hard-earned knowledge of PHP, of complex MySQL joins, of WordPress architecture, that remains your absolute bedrock. You are simply upgrading how you deliver that architecture to the world. And if you want to build this muscle further, the sources heavily recommend researching the 12-factor app principles. It's a methodology for building software as a service applications, and understanding it will fundamentally change how you think about managing environment variables and scaling your code cleanly.
We've covered the mechanics, the massive wins like pull request previews, and the dangerous traps like secrets management. But I want to leave you with one final provocative thought. A puzzle, really, based on where the sources go next in the DevOps landscape.
Oh, I like a good puzzle.
Think about this scenario. You have successfully made the transition. You've completely automated your deployments. Your CI/CD pipeline is flawless, catching bugs and deploying safely. You no longer manually log into your production servers via SSH ever. It's glorious.
Sounds perfect.
But when a complex bug inevitably happens out there in the wild and a customer complains that the checkout is failing and you no longer have the ability to just SSH into the server to watch a live error log scroll by on your terminal, how do you actually know what your application is doing?
Ah, that is the ultimate trade-off of the modern stack. When you remove direct server access for the sake of automation and security, you completely lose your traditional visibility.
Exactly. You realize that once you stop blindly operating on the server, you now have to build an entirely new, sophisticated system of monitors and logs just to watch the application's vitals from the other room.
Mm-hmm.
But the world of modern observability, well, that is a puzzle we will leave for you to chew on.